Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm going to double down on this. Yes, if they don't add anything, they can still win the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
They can still win it. Now, because it's less about them offensively and their struggles, but it's more about what the rest of the AFC is providing as far as competition. What about the Houston Texans? What about the Indianapolis Colts?
But
the Kansas City Chiefs are still good.
Can they win?
And Patrick Mahomes just hurt.
Can they win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
No.
Yes. And
no.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
No. All I know is that what I see right now, they need help.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Final hour of OMF being brought to you by Auto Fair. We go 30 minutes commercial free, and then Teddy Bruschi will join us at the bottom of the hour. I'm not sure.
Head to head right now.
I love the defense. Defense is great.
Don't waste a great defense. Don't waste it. Because, I mean, you need help. I mean, it's just you're not deep enough in some of these areas, and maybe we are focusing on the wrong areas. You touched upon it before the break. You know, because I had this argument Monday night with Volan and Michael Hawley. Hmm. And so Hawley's talking about last year we were worried about him, and look how it ended up. And I would say when I look at this team, the biggest difference offensively is an offensive line last year that was very good and healthy. And a beautiful run-blocking tight end in Gronk, one of the best in the game.
And Dwayne Allen.
And James Devlin. And Dwayne Allen.
I mean, that's all he did, though. I forget about him.
They could use Dwayne Allen.
No, you're right. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So that's the biggest difference, you know, and being able to run the football. We look at Kansas City right now, run the football. So, you know, there's a chance. I think Bill could actually look at N'Keal Harry, and if he likes what he sees, you know, between N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman and, you know, getting Myers involved a little bit and Gordon and Dorsett and maybe even a side order, a gunner, we might be deep enough. We got enough bodies to handle that. I'm going to trade for a fullback. I'm going to trade for a guard. Or I'm going to trade
tackle.
For a tight end that can block. All minimal trades. Because that is the biggest difference between last year's team and this year's team. The guys in front of you trying to run the football.
Yeah, when they lost Gordon, week 13 after that, they ran the football. And
it
worked. And their defense kept on getting better. Now their defense is better.
So if you don't add anything, how does that change? Isaiah Wynn fixes everything?
It helps.
Well, I can say they can run the football without a fullback. I mean, teams do it all the time. They don't need a lead blocker. They had one, so they used him.
Yeah, but you got Sony Michel, apparently can't.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm just saying, does Isaiah Wynn fix, can't run the football?
Christian, I would say
they need help there.
So we can look at the.
I think their offense is terrible. I can't stand watching their offense. Terrible.
And yet you think they can get to the Super Bowl with it.
There's not one guy on that offense. Whether than Edelman, obviously, obviously.
James White.
But you're not threatened or worried about any of those offensive linemen. You're not sitting there going, I got to change my game. If you're a defensive back, you're freaking out about how you're going to cover Edelman. And then James White out of the backfield, the guy's dangerous.
So you think a terrible offense, and obviously we all feel good about the defense.
It's so frustrating watching their offense.
Can win
Glenn,
the Super Bowl.
Listen, so I know we got Ben Volan from earlier today. I want to play it because Ben is talking about this offense, and he's having the same discussion with Greg and Danielle, and he talks about being exposed, but the problem is I think he misspoke.
This offense, as it's currently constructed, I believe is not good enough to win the AFC. When they play real teams, they're going to get exposed, and it will happen sooner than later. They're going to start facing Kansas City and Houston and the Eagles and Dallas and real competitive. And even this Monday against the Jets, I think, is going to be a good test. You know, that's not the easiest environment for them to go in. It could be a grind. So I think they need to make some moves. And the way that this offense is built right now, I just don't think they have what it takes to win the AFC.
All right, so fine. So he says that once they play a good team, they're going to be exposed.
Right.
The problem with that comment is that they've already been exposed by crappier teams.
Yeah, I think he's saying that, though.
No, but he isn't. The fact is that what he needs to say is that everybody knows that this offense isn't very good.
But they've played bad teams, so they get away with it.
So a team has not taken advantage of them. Right. So I don't need. I'm not sitting here looking, thinking, "Oh, the emperor has no clothes on."
So let me do this. We add the fact you think it's a terrible offense. I would say it is so-so. I don't know how you'd rate it, Lou, but I wouldn't say terrible.
They played against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and they couldn't move the ball.
So here's the other issue I have when you're talking about the offense, because I do believe they're going to run into some trouble. And matter of fact, I think this offense may run into trouble Monday night in New Jersey. You know, I was happy taking giving away 24, giving away 17.5, giving away 15.5 points. Anybody want to give away 9.5 against the Jets? I don't.
No.
Not on Monday night. I think they could be challenged. But they have a double problem. And that is they do not have a dependable kicker. So now when you add that and you're looking for points in a game, you're sitting there going, what the bleep do we do here? We can't depend on the offense in a 4th-and-2 situation. But on the other hand, can our guy kick a 43, 45-yard field goal?
I think you'll notice wholesale changes to their philosophy when it comes to who's responsible for 3rd-and-short, 4th-and-short, and goal line. It's Brandon Bolden. That's my first change. Yeah, okay, I know Sony Michel can do it. No, you know what? Brandon Bolden has shown me that he's more reliable, and he'll fall forward instead of dancing around or being just too patient. Sometimes he's just thinking about where he needs to go. Yeah. Brandon Bolden is head down. I'm going forward. Okay. There's my hole. It's short yardage. There isn't a hole there. Make one.
Yeah.
Okay? Make a hole.
So what was their goal line running game?
Tom Brady.
Not once, but twice.
Oh man, it's unbelievable.
So that eventually is going to bite you in the ass. You can't continue.
Well, that was survival mode there for them. I think that was survival mode. They got a bunch of injuries. They had to stay in the same personnel grouping, and they just said, "Screw it." By that point in time, I think the Giants were cooked.
It is what it is.
They were done. They had no fight left them. They knew what was going on. I was windy and cold. And they just wanted to go home. So fine. But I think about it more. About how historic and unbelievably great this defense is going to be, and they will keep you in games. And it's not like the rest of the AFC is just unbelievable. I would say that even they're still the best team in the AFC. So if you take the three best teams in the AFC, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Houston, just call it those three teams. Leave Indy out for now. You think they have an issue? You think they match up better with one team rather than the other? Which one do they match up best with? I tell you what, they can't do what Indy did against Kansas City.
No.
They can't do what Houston did. They can't run it down their throats.
They've had great success against Houston, and I still think Houston has got some issues. But, no, it's their defense. Teams are going to have trouble scoring against them. So they're going to play, even the best offensive teams are going to be playing in the teens, or they're going to be fighting to get to 20. The question is, can Tom Brady put 20 up on the board?
So Mikey Reese has, they got 3 fullbacks in town.
Ooh.
For workouts.
Yeah, they got to find somebody.
The only guy that I see with any kind of experience is Skid Orson Charles.
Ooh, who is that?
Yeah, exactly. Cincinnati, New Orleans, Detroit, Kansas City, Cleveland. That's been the last 5 years.
Well traveled,
different 6'3", 257. Yeah. Played at Georgia.
Ooh, big.
But he's played since 2012. He's been in the league on rosters. I mean, I think they're definitely going to bring somebody in. I wouldn't be surprised if it's this guy. They list him as tight end / fullback.
So here's the thing. This is kind of interesting because it's so hard to find a fullback. So obviously, if they're going to bring this many guys in, they want to stick with their philosophy, which is running the football down your throat. Because I would say if you lose your fullback, you've gone through 2 of them already, yeah, you're probably not going to. We're just going to morph into something else. So isn't that kind of a sign? So no, they go out there and they let everybody know, we still want to run the football down. They didn't draft James Devlin to play fullback. It was just this is like a science experiment. Let's just see where we can find this guy. We like him. Sure enough,
he's a linebacker. Right?
It was a defensive tackle, D lineman, linebacker at Brown. Well,
but that's what Belichick does. He brings wrestlers in, makes them into guards, brings rugby players and makes them into safeties. I mean, this is what he does. He looks at a certain guy and says, I think maybe we can do something. So they've got to figure it out. And we all know, because I keep on hearing this every time we're critical about the offense. Oh, you guys don't understand the 6-0. The great thing about the Patriots is they usually go into the lab and they figure it out. even when they can't run certain things or do certain things with the personnel they have. They kind of, you know, jury-rig it and figure a way to do it. And they did it last year after they lost Gordon. So we believe they're going to try to do it. But the question is, how are they going to do it? So Ben Volen wrote about this today. Last year and years in the past, they had plenty of money under the cap when we got to the trading deadline. We are literally 2 weeks away from the trading deadline to the day, 2 weeks from today. They don't have the money.
Somewhere around three.
Right. So they've got very little flexibility to do this. So it'd be great to sit there and say, oh, yeah, work out a deal with Stephon Diggs, and you can go get Emmanuel Sanders and Sanu. And no, it's very difficult to do. Tyler Eifert is probably the if you're looking for a tight end, they may be able to do something like that. But money-wise, they can't do an awful lot.
Well, that's where Michael Bennett comes into play.
So Michael Bennett becomes that trade chip for you now.
Yes.
Because he had philosophical differences with the line, defensive line.
Yeah, code so, for words.
So think about this, philosophical differences. And when have you remember the last time Bill Belichick suspended a guy for an entire week? He has sat out a guy for a series or two. He has let a guy practice all week long and then really pissed him off by making them inactive for the game. But when you suspend a guy for an entire week in a game, you lose 1 week's pay, correct, Mr. Fourier?
In his case, about $270,000.
$270,000, big ones.
$270,000.
That is painful.
Man, you really got to be committed to your beliefs. If you were talking about philosophical differences.
That's a big philosophical difference.
I'll change the way I think for that.
Yeah.
Whoa, you know what? I never looked at it that way. Oh, my God.
Michael,
thank you, Brett Bielema.
Think about it this way. You played 11 snaps. You made 270 grand.
Thank you. You know what? I was mad.
You know how much money I overreacted. Per snap?
Yeah, next week, you're not getting the 11 snaps and the 270. So it tells me, and we can't find
that. You're looking at it all wrong.
Yeah. Think about it this way. So what are you flipping around. You can change your attitude.
So you go back. Somebody brought up Terry Glenn. You have to go back to Terry Glenn, and that was more of a contract thing. But I can't remember him suspending a guy for an entire week like that where you lose the pay.
So it had to be bad.
Real bad.
Like, we're not talking, you know, him putting his feet up on the desk and them saying, take it down.
This is Antonio Brown bad. This is real bad.
This is Antonio Brown, yes. Mike Mayock. Well, I'm going to come get you.
We've seen that before, wasn't it? Was Jamie Collins, before they traded him, was he a healthy scratch one game?
I don't remember
that. We've seen it before, the healthy scratch. Right? He's just not active. Right? He could very easily.
Jamal Sheard. Was the guy that he left
that
him
was,
back.
Yeah, that was the one.
I don't think they did it with
that was the one. No, Jamal Sheard.
With Collins. Collins had that game, was it the Houston game or whatever, that he was freelancing, and I think they were pissed at him, and then they traded him.
But you just made him not active. He's just not going to be active.
Yes.
But instead, that's it, suspended.
Right.
For a week.
And who knows, maybe this was building. So maybe he's been mouthing off. Maybe he's been pissed because he came out, a week ago and said he had a zero role with the team. And so maybe this was building, and finally Belichick said, enough is enough. You know, we're not putting up with this crap anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, Bill, it's a matter of I'm showing the rest of the team. Everybody saw this. Everybody's been watching this guy. He's been a problem. Because to me, it's really, this is a severe hit on this guy. A week pay gone, $270,000.
So does he play again for the New England Patriots?
No,
so he is. Hold on, wait. I want you to say it. He is Dunsky.
He is Dunsky.
He's Dunsky?
Dunsky, Dunsky, and Dunsky.
You think he comes back from this?
Well, why don't you repeat it? Because you said this earlier in the program. You broke down his play, and you're basically saying they don't have a role for him right now.
No, he was right. He was right. I mean, he was zero accurate. Role. I mean, he was making fun of it, but he doesn't have a role. When you look at how they play and who they play and the way they play him, he's the one guy that's kind of left out on an island. He's not big like Adam Butler Lawrence Guy.
Yeah. Shelton.
Shelton. So those are their three bigs. And if they go 3-4 or 2-4-5 or whatever, he's not good enough to play a linebacker position. So he's kind of, I hate to say, he's kind of a tweener.
Yeah.
So it's almost like some guys when they play
quick
offense,
enough for coverage and
he's
can't
like,
do a lot.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're not fast enough to be a wide receiver. You're too small to be a tight end. So what? They create a position.
In this defense.
They call you H-back on offense.
Yeah.
And this defense, I just don't think he fits. I think the other guys are are playing great at what they're asking him to do, and he notices it. He sees it. He's been in the league long enough. He recognizes that he doesn't have a role. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, and I forget who said it. It's one of the beat guys said that, you know, we thought he was coming in to take over that Trey Flowers role. The only problem is this defense does not have that role anymore.
Yeah, well, they changed it after he brought him in because they gave him a 2-year deal, yeah. Right? Second year's not
like you said,
guaranteed.
Chris, what are they? 2-5-4? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a two. So Lawrence Guy or Shelton are always your starters. And then Adam Butler will come in to spell those guys, or he'll be the third down lineman on a 3-4 defense. So when they go a 2-4 and have five cover guys, they're obviously, you know, they don't need him. He doesn't play in that situation. So he just doesn't rotate. So it seems like a 3-man rotation out of the bigs. So they're not taking Simon off the field. They're not taking Van Noy off the field. Winovich has carved out a nice little spot in that role, and he can play on the line or play from depth. And, oh, by the way, Michael Bennett can't cover anybody.
Yeah.
So if they want to show a different look or they want to cover more guys or show different blitz packages, he's got to put his hand on the ground.
Okay, so why would you, with a trading deadline 2 weeks away from today, and you don't really have an awful lot of money, and you could release some of it, and he's still a good player, and there's got to be another team out there that looks at it and says, Michael Bennett? Because the Patriots did. Patriots gave him a 2-year deal, figuring that guy is the best guy to replace Trey Flowers, as Lou said. Then they changed their defense. So they realized, based on the personnel they had, they could do some other stuff, and oh yeah, it's working to this point. So why would you bring Bennett back for what? He's going to play. He's going to be fourth on the depth chart with the bigs. Is he not?
As simple as their needs changed.
Yeah.
That's it. So their needs just changed.
So it's just a no-brainer.
Because they wouldn't have signed him for that much money without the intention of playing him.
No, they thought he had a role.
So he starts in the first game, has a bunch of reps, and it slowly diminishes as they go through the season.
And that's why he's Dunsky. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Dunsky.
You know, you have holes to fill. So you need to trade from a position of depth. Yeah, you'll take some dead cap money when you trade this guy, but you'll also save $2.5 million in that range, depending on when it happens. So it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, you don't need this guy. Hell, even if you trade him for a tight end, if you trade him for a lineman, you know, I don't see you for picks. I think you try to upgrade somewhere.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe you trade him for a draft pick, and then what you do is you use the cap money to go elsewhere. Because who knows? You're not going to find necessarily the perfect fit team that's looking for his, you know, for what you're looking for. But I just don't see how you bring him back for what? Insurance? You already talked about it. You've got three guys.
Just thinking. Insurance. So let's say you do get in a jam and Butler gets hurt and Lawrence Guy gets hurt. Well, he's a little undersized. That's really not his position, but you don't have anybody else. So he has to hold up. He has to hold the line. And they just have to live with it. Somebody else has to pick up the slack.
So think about it. You've got Guy. You've got Shelton. You've got Butler. You've got Wise.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have Coward as well, right?
Yep.
You've got him. So why do you really need him if you're going to utilize him for 11 plays a game? That's your best means right now. Plus, he's a pain in the ass if he's not playing a lot.
Okay, well, we obviously know that now because they suspended him for a week over it.
Philosophical difference.
Yeah, and obviously the money isn't enough for him to keep his mouth shut because he's prideful. He wants to play.
Plus, he wants to guarantee next year playing again. Right? So it's not guaranteed money next year.
Well, so
it's the NFL.
And that, to me, that's a realization where you go, wait a second, this has been going on too long, and now I'm pissed off about it. So I'm going to take it on Brett Bielema. I'm going to holler and scream at him. I'm going to put my feet up on the desk. I'm going to challenge him. There's no way you get suspended just for just being rude. It's got to be more than that. I mean, you got to think about the lesson you're trying to teach right here to an adult male.
So you use them. So whatever you want to use them for, like you said, Glenn, whether it's to free up cap space and get a seventh round pick or whatever, and then use that and flip it around, whatever. Or you could fish in a different wide receiver pond, one in which Ben Volen brings up, and I like it.
I think that'd be a real option. I think they would take him back. I heard you guys questioning whether Amendola shot his way out of town. I think they would take him back. And the whole no learning curve, his contract isn't that expensive. He's cheaper than Sanu. Brady would obviously be thrilled to have Amendola back. I think Matt Patricia would take Michael Bennett. Matt Patricia is on the staff, you know, obviously from the Patriots, and knows how good of a player Bennett used to be. And the whole do your job from the 2014 Super Bowl was all about how great Michael Bennett was. So I think Patricia would look at him and say, I can make it work.
Yeah, there we go. Michael Bennett for the Dola.
Straight up.
Yeah. See, no, but here's the thing. Listen, again, maybe they focus on a different area, but Mohamed Sanu would be beautiful, right? I like that. But the other guys, like the Emmanuel Sanders, the Diggs, which isn't going to happen, A.J. Green, all $11 million players. Yeah. So okay, so if you're not going to fish in that pond, and you're going to go after a guy in that $4 million that you could fit in to your salary structure, a guy that makes $4 to $4.5 million, what receivers are we talking about? And of that group, you know, are we sure that that guy's that talented that he could just fit? You know, that it would just, he's that good of a player, he would just fit. No, but Dadola? Pretty sure he'd fit.
The most important question is, so whoever Dadola is dating, does she come along? Is that part of the package?
Well, you know, he's always doing well in that department. He's a handsome fella.
Emily Tanner.
What is it?
Emily Tanner.
Mm. Who is she? Is she just like a girl? Or
what did
she
you describe her earlier? She's not ugly. Not ugly. He's right.
But is she like an actress? Or is she just a model? Or what is she?
Instagram model, maybe. Who the hell knows?
A lot of pictures online.
A lot of pictures in bikinis.
A lot of pictures out there.
Hey, ma'am, how's that grill?
It's a plug-in and play player. We know that. Yeah. Brady might be happy. On the other hand, we also know what you get with Danny Amendola. You have the great games, the big games, and he always seems to play well in these big games. But there are a lot of games in which Danny can't play, or Danny's not feeling great, or Danny's not doing this.
The Dola delivers in a time
of
crisis.
You protect the Dola over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep.
You sit there and say, why'd we bring this guy in? He's limited snaps, one catch a game.
He's got an ailment now.
And then all of a sudden, playoff Danny. And here
the
comes
the Dola appears.
The Dola.
He just explodes onto the scene.
Yep. Playoff Dola.
Hide the women and children.
He's got some ailment right now. Sore hair or something
chest.
Like that. Sore chest. That's what it is. Sore chest.
His heart is broken from Emily.
That's what it is.
he longs for her.
And by the way, I heard a few people earlier today say he could never come back here because on the way out, you know, he was throwing crap at Belichick. You think Belichick cares about that?
Wait. Do you remember what he said?
Yeah, it was very timid. It was like he was taking some shots, and then at the end, he'd come back.
Complimentary.
But he is a great coach. He's the greatest coach ever.
He was honest.
Yeah.
He had no filter.
Yeah.
It's funny. The Dola became more honest and open the farther he went in his career here.
I want to hear what he said.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah, we have it. We have it.
I can imagine it's probably a little bit easier to let loose down in Miami than it was in New England, huh?
No question. And, you know, it's almost like Coach Gase is one of the guys, one of the boys, and you know, you want to fight hard for your boys. And back in New England, it's almost like, you know, you had a principal in a principal's office.
That's a step back. Was that a Barstool, Casey Smith?
Yeah,
I think so.
That's not a big deal.
Like he sat there and said, hate the guy.
Belichick's not going to sit there. If he needs a guy, he doesn't care.
He's like, yeah, you know what? It is a principal's office. That's why we win. Yeah. That's why you lose down there with Gase and those eyes.
Exactly.
Principal's not in right now.
It's like Philadelphia. It's Lane Johnson football. Yeah. We have fun. By the way, did you notice that somebody wrote this the other day or tweeted it out? In Philly, they want nothing to do with Michael Bennett. Apparently, that ended was bad.
Really?
Yeah, nothing to do with
him.
Players want nothing to do
with him.
So he might have been a pain in the ass.
How did it end in Seattle? Was it just money or was it similar?
Well, he was a free agent, wasn't he? He didn't get traded to Philly, did he?
No, I'm saying when he left. Okay, well, did he get traded?
I don't know.
I'm saying is that you got a guy that, you know, was in Seattle. They're very good. Philly, they're very good. New England, they're very good. And it's not ending well for him. You know, it's not like you got Jalen Ramsey down there in Jacksonville with a team sucking or you know, guys like, just my team sucks. I want out of here. This is his third team in a row that's been really good.
So I agree
with
you guys.
Nobody wants him.
Because if he wants to play more. He doesn't like his role. Zero role. So he comes back. Do you think, all right, hey, listen, we were all wrong. Everybody shake hands, hug and kiss and make up. All right, now let's play him now. You think he automatically gets back into the rotation?
No.
Answer is no. He's got to earn.
It's going to be worse.
He's farther behind now than he was before the Giants game.
Absolutely. Here's the other one, too, is there's one thing about understanding that you can't fit into what they're doing, and I understand it. You're not happy about it. But he doesn't seem like a guy who's accountable for his own actions, and he seems to have trouble with authority. And we've seen this in the past, okay? We saw it with the case in Vegas, right?
Where
he made up a whole story up there. And then the police came out with the video to basically say, you're a liar, and it was egg on his face. Then he had the situation, didn't he? He pushed over some disabled person in a wheelchair.
That was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he was, again, he was defiant for anybody even bringing it up as opposed to the way he dealt with it. So do you think when they're sitting there telling him that you need to do this, this is what our defense is, this is what we need from you, you think he's accepting it nicely?
There's only one way he's not Dunsky, and that's if you see an injury on Monday night. That's it. I think they get through Monday night healthy on a couple important guys, whether it's Butler or these guys, then I think that he gets traded shortly after that.
So, yeah.
I mean, you don't, you trade him now and Adam Butler goes down. Now what?
Yeah.
Now you can sit there and say, okay, listen, now you got a role. Right? Now you have a role. Here we go. Wise got nicked up. Butler went down. You now have a role. Yes, everyone's good. So he just wants a role, but if everybody's healthy, I don't think there's a chance in hell he's on this team next week.
The defense is having the injury luck that the offense had last year.
Mm-hmm.
The offense is having all the issues, and the defense has zero right now.
Hightower for a week.
Yeah, but I feel like they kind of let we don't need your head. Rest up. Okay, then the week
Patrick
after Van Noy's going to... Yeah, okay, who's having a baby? Right, anybody having a baby? Go ahead, take the day off. Let's get it out of the way now. But no babies in December.
Didn't Patrick Chung sort of feel like he got a little nick and Sunday, Thursday... we won't play him against Washington.
You know what? You're good.
Sit him, get him ready for Thursday's game. It just seemed like that Sunday, Thursday, those injuries sort of seemed like, they're fine. They just didn't want to play twice in 3 or 4 days.
Ooh, my knees.
Yeah. I think those days are over now because you're going to
practice.
You're going to need guys.
They've had so many days off.
Tuesday.
So far. It's ridiculous.
Four of the last five.
No, it's really so.
Four of the last five have been off.
So it's they're treating it like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right. So usually they practice. They give them another day off.
Well, it's a Monday game too.
I know, but still, at least they throw the Wednesday install in there, and then by the time you get to Sunday,
Saturday, Thursday, and you actually get the extra day because of Monday.
What about player safety?
And then you're a couple weeks away from your bye week. Well, you guys get a lot of time off.
But then it all changes because you're playing next Monday, and then you have a 4:30 Sunday game.
Ask Matthew Slater how he feels about the Thursday night games now. This far into having the weekend, having an extra day off.
Body feels a lot better.
I mean, I feel like this is crazy talk when I hear these guys talk about it. It's crazy. It's the best thing going.
You know the other thing,
But you know part of it. Isn't he active in the players?
Yeah. No, I know he's doing it.
So he's doing it because
they are negotiating right now.
The other thing, too, is like the next, I think, 8 games, they don't have a 1 o'clock start. And they have 4 primetime games in the next, 6 weeks.
Lou, you played to all the dregs already. Those were all 1 o'clock games.
Right. No, but you know those guys, they love the 1 o'clock games. Brady was talking, I love 1 o'clock games. Get a good night's sleep. Well, they got 4 primetime.
I hate the 4
And these game. These NFL players, they need their rest, boy. You only get 6 days to rest between games. Rest up mentally, physically. You guys are soft.
I can't play three, 4 days mentally.
Hey,
don't mock me. I agree with you.
Soft.
3 of the next 4 games are primetime.
So do we all agree that...
They already played one against the Giants.
That Monday night's game is a difficult game. 9.5 points.
Very difficult game.
Who would you take?
I would take the points.
I would too. You take the points, big fella?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I would too. I think this is a very difficult game. Here's the other one that will be interesting because a big deal has been made about the Monday night football game this past Monday, how bad the officiating was, and how ESPN jumped all over the officiating. And, of course, the commissioner talked about it today, and he said, they're doing the best they can back there with the review and the replay and the whole works. My guess is there might be a little bit more emphasis on Monday night
getting
the stuff correct.
I don't know if you saw what Goodell said about the pass interference instant replay, whatever, the reviews, rather. And he said he thinks it's going well because he doesn't – they're just looking for the drastic, the awful calls. He doesn't want to re-officiate the game. And I would say, then don't have instant replay. Because that's why we have instant replay. To re-officiate the game,
Show up the officials.
But I'm just saying, that's why we have instant replay. It's more evidence that they're looking for one thing, and that awful play against New Orleans. But we have instant replay to re-officiate games.
Yeah, but they gave...
Whether it's a touchdown or not, whether it's a fumble or not, whether it's an interception or a completion... That's re-officiating games.
But they lied to everybody by telling everybody that they were going to take care of pass interference and offensive pass interference. And all they were doing is protecting their ass so they didn't have another situation like they had in New Orleans. All right, we got Teddy Bruschi. He is coming up next right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. Best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Time for our weekly get-together with Teddy Bruschi. It's all being brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Hey, Teddy. How are you?
Shaw's, huh?
Shaw's.
See, Teddy, you hear that all in the open. You hear that all
That's a good one.
You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Yes, you do. You don't like Matthew Slater.
No, I think someone else should do it.
You think it should be stripped away
Teddy,
from?
Really? I think Teddy, you're in charge here. Yeah. You have the ability to revoke his ability to do the So I feel like, you know, maybe somebody else needs a chance.
Why do you feel Slater needs to be revoked?
I'm gonna start off with this. Give me the from last week.
Oh god.
I got two things that I'm feeling kinda high about. Number one, my man. Number two, all time passing. That's big. Number two.
I don't know, we don't celebrate
six.
Twos around here.
What the hell is that?
And
that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
That's
that was
one of his
better
good.
Ones.
What was his best one? That was his best one, Teddy.
A grade, Teddy.
I'm giving that a B+.
I would agree. That was pretty good.
You know, you point out the historical context of the accomplishment of Tom Brady of
Check
the evening,
off.
And then
there
you just.
Go.
I mean, that's all you really need. You still got the rhythm. You got the Guys, you're winning so many games.
About.
I'm telling you, you run out of things. You run out of things to say. When we had won 21 in a row, I was thinking on a sideline about midway through the third quarter. What the heck do I say this week?
Third quarter.
Who's going to break it down now? I'd ask around. Anybody got anything for me? It was hard.
I love
a lot of pressure.
I love the Brady line, though. We don't do anything for second place around here. What are we talking about? All right, let's start with Michael Bennett. I don't remember a week long suspension by Bill Belichick. Not playing the first couple series, guys that are inactive on Sunday because they didn't like something they did during the week. This is costing him a 1 week suspension, $275,000. He's claiming it was philosophical differences. This one sounds like it was a lot more. Do you believe he will come back to the Patriots? You do believe that they're going to use Bennett now as that chip to go and get something they need?
Well, I've been in those meetings before when, you know, players have those arguments with their, you don't do it in team meeting room. Sometimes it's in the defensive meeting room or the offensive meeting room, but a lot of times it happens in the positional meeting rooms when players, you feel more comfortable in a smaller setting and you just let it all out. But it can't be just an argument because the last time I saw a player and a coach have a philosophical, difference. It was when Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson were chest to chest and were about to throw blows. That's the philosophical difference that I know. When somebody's in somebody's face or somebody's got their hand on somebody's throat and something physical happens. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but to just have that philosophical difference and an argument and you're suspended for a week, it's got to be a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. I think there could have been something going on there.
So wait, so what happened with Pepper and Junior?
Well, they were going over the pass rush plan on the practice field and they were going through an argument and, Junior had his way of freelancing things and doing things on his own. And we all knew that. And I had to have his back a couple times because he was a brute cover me. And I'd be like, okay, what are you doing? And then, you're playing defense that way sometimes. Pep tried to get it a little bit more structured, try to get it in an aggressive way that Pep did sometimes, because Pep, he had to get things right. Pep was a great coach. And it was said in a certain way that Junior didn't appreciate it, and Pep was already hot. And Pep said, let's get out to the parking lot. And they was like, who's going to go out to the parking lot? That's where we got to handle this. And so Pep started walking to the parking lot. And so we're like, oh, man, what's going to happen? Junior starts walking, and then luckily that's all it was. I didn't see him after that. I took off because it's like, man, I can't stay here. There's just too much beef over here being pushed around. But philosophical differences, that means blows.
So do you think he's done here? Because we keep speculating they're going to trade him.
Man, I wouldn't say he's done here, although it's a pretty strong statement to suspend somebody and take almost $300,000 of his salary away from him. I'd be pissed off if I was Michael Bennett. I don't know if I'd want to come back. I'd have to have a heart-to-heart, you know? Or maybe this guy's made a lot of money in his time. He needed a week off to cool off, and maybe his role changes when he gets back, but depth is something they always value, and this is a pass rusher that can come in situational times, and who knows, an injury here, an injury there, he could still have that role. But there are a lot of times in the course of the season, especially defensively, very rarely is there one player that has one role consistently the entire year. I mean, even offensively, you can easily track the reps. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'd play 70 snaps. Other times it was like, okay, I got 35 this time. That's something I don't think Bennett was used to.
So in talking about possibly trading, I'm curious, you know, obviously the defense is outstanding. Offensively, Teddy, do they have personnel answers in the building, whether it's wide receiver depth, being able to run the football? Does this team need to go out and make a trade for somebody on the offense?
That's a good question, but it all depends on what your expectation for this offense is. So what are we trying to make it? Are we trying to make it into a 25 to 30 point a game offense? And so there are multiple pieces that you need where that's just not possible. It's not possible for them to all of a sudden become an offense that can score like that. So what do you really need this offense to be to succeed? And this year, in my opinion, is to run the football, take care of it, don't turn it over, and let this defense be who it is. Because what I think you're looking at here, we're going all the way back to the beginning of Tom Brady before he was TB12, and you had all these complementary pieces on the special team and the defense that were making plays, taking the ball away, scoring on special teams. I know there's a big piece missing in a reliable kicker, but still, those three aspects are what this team has to be, because the offense right now, I don't see it becoming something that it isn't right now. It is what it is. Take care of the football. Be efficient. Convert a third down here and there if you're Tom Brady. Let your defense dominate the other side of the ball and get you in favorable field position battles. Field position situations. I think that's what this team is.
So, Teddy, just going back to Bennett again, I know they obviously need him because there's depth issues, and you always value that, right? You never, you know, predict when somebody's going to get hurt. But why isn't he playing? I get that, you know, I'm telling the same story. You know, our reps go up and down based on who we're playing against. But his have gone significantly down every week. So why isn't he playing? Is it just Butler and Shelton and Guy, or is that he's just not versatile enough? What is it?
I mean, what I've been seeing too is I think they're just recognizing their best players on their defense are at the linebacker position in terms of front seven wise.
Yeah.
Front seven wise. And Bill's having the fun with two linemen down, multiple guys standing, using the twist, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Van Oy is doing a great job off the edge. So I've got these linebackers that are so multiple, I'm going to use them, and that means less defensive linemen are used. That's what I see in terms of schemes that they're selecting to use, especially in pressure situations in terms of second and longs, third and longs like that. So I think you have so much talent at the linebacker position, they're the ones that deserve to be on the field.
We're talking to our guy, Teddy Bruschi, here on a Wednesday. So this week, it is the J-E-T-S Jets. We've been waiting for a competitive game. And first game, they played the Jets. Defense in the second half of the Jets, pretty good. Edelman goes down with an injury in that game. Is this a competitive game on Monday night, now that you've had the opportunity to see Sam Darnold back out there against a pretty good team?
Well, I think it'll be a better quality player at the quarterback position, especially what you saw last week in terms of Daniel Jones, because what I was talking to you last week in terms of the rookie speed of the progression that he was going through, taking his time on one read and then going from one to two to three and making a conscious effort to do it, but just slower. And that's where you get the hand on the arm, and that's where he makes the bad decision and you get those interceptions. Based on Darnold last week versus the Cowboys, there was none of that. I mean, there was decisiveness. There was, there's my guy. There's the throw. The ball's out of his hands. So a quarterback now that possibly all of your pressure that you've been applying on these young, inexperienced quarterbacks that don't know what they're doing is now not going to apply because, I mean, Darnold did play well last week. We'll see if he does this week again, but still getting the ball out of the hands quickly is something that is going to be different from what they saw versus the Giants.
Teddy, I want to ask you about the pass interference, the challenges we've seen in the NFL. It seems like they're just saving it for what happened, right, with New Orleans, because, I don't know, you watch some of these ones that are challenged, and you're like, okay, that's pass interference, and they're just not changing the call. Why even have it?
Yeah, and so what they've done is they've sort of expanded replay to all of those calls on pass interference. And so now fans are even watching it thinking, well, why can't that one be fixed? Like the obvious call in the Detroit game, the hands to the face that wasn't there and all of that. So really all you had to do was make it so that situation – versus that happened in the Rams and the Saints championship game, just make sure that didn't happen again. They tried to do so much, and I'm telling you, I'm so sick of hearing clear and obvious on telecasts and watch games. Clear and obvious. It has to be clear and obvious. If they want to do it, just go back to what Belichick said years ago. Replay everything. And anything that's clear and obviously wrong, fix it. Make it that way. But they go ahead and just opened up Pandora's box with this pass interference call. It's a mess. You know, everyone's complaining about the officials now, and the officials, you know, to tell you the truth, they're doing a horrible job, especially what I saw Monday night. And so something's got to be fixed, and I don't know if it's during the competition meetings now, but desperately, this game is wrecked because some of these officials just can't get it right.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about, so Jalen Ramsey gets traded to the Rams. Marcus Peters gets traded to the Ravens. And this kind of goes with the whole NFL turning into the NBA. If you want it bad enough, if you cause a stink bad enough, you can get yourself out of any situation. You just have to hold your breath and, you know, have a tantrum or something, or say you have a back
fake
injury.
An injury.
Yes, because I'm sure Jalen Ramsey is going to be healthy like today when he shows up for the Rams. But I think just the question is that just the way it is now? You know, the NFL and their ability to kind of dictate where they go and dictate terms, or is it just a select few that have that ability?
I just think it's the way it is now, because this was the one example where I thought an organization that, you know, one of the head men was Tom Coughlin, wasn't going to go out and get played like that. But still, Mr. Military, this is the way I do things here, still a player was able to get out and get everything he wanted. Sent to the West Coast, go to Los Angeles, probably going to get a contract extension based on the draft picks that they gave up. And still, he really forced his way out of Jacksonville right in Tom Coughlin's face. And it's something I didn't think would happen. I think Coughlin would say, no, son, this is my team here. I call the shots. You'll go out there and play, or I'm going to fine you, and I'm not going to pay you. Well, no, coach, I got this little back injury. So, we're going to see it that way. And so even Tom Coughlin had enough. If you make enough of a stink, you can get out.
We were having this conversation, I believe, yesterday. Fourier said that he thinks he could line up all the teams in the playoffs right now in the AFC and could do a pretty good job with the NFC. And I argued the point that every week we're finding something new about these teams. I mean, Dallas, suddenly 2 weeks ago, you thought they were Super Bowl bound. 2 weeks later, you're looking at them differently. Obviously, Kansas City. And usually it takes till like week 10 to find out what you've really got. Do you buy into the good teams are the good teams right now, or are we going to see some surprises here?
And the surprises, how far can they go? Really, I mean, we're probably talking championship weekend. I mean, those are divisional weekend, those type of guys. Can you have some surprises that possibly get to a wild card weekend? Yes, but you're right. I mean, the story still can, I think the story is still to be told on Kansas City, even New England, even the Patriots, guys. I mean, who are they going to be? I mean, who are they going to try to be offensively? Or are they just going to say, you know what, guys, I think this is who we are. And so we're going to play to our defense, and just like they did in Buffalo, three plays and punt in the fourth quarter, and we know that offenses can't score on this defense. So there's a lot to be discovered still. The Texans, they look great, but it's like, I don't know. I've seen them just blow it.
Yeah.
in big game situations before. The Cowboys, I mean, come on, you look great 1 week, and it's just the way they've been the entire time. You just don't know who they're going to be, and I don't trust Jason Garrett, because it's like, all right, the best teams, you got to have the team but also the best coaching staff too. I like Seattle. I love Russell Wilson and what he's been doing. The Indianapolis Colts, Jacoby Brissett and that offensive line, if that defense makes plays for them, there's a lot that they can do also versus, I mean, seeing them, you know, manhandle Kansas City at the line of scrimmage, and Quentin Nelson, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. Geez, I just watch him sometimes. So the Colts also. But there's really just, you know, I don't know about the surprises, and I don't know how they can go, because, you know, those, the real teams are really starting to step up that are 5-1, 6-0, 4-2, those type of teams.
Other than the Patriots, that's it though, right?
On a week-to-week basis, I mean
with everybody else, even with all their issues, they're still the most, I guess, reliable? Based on what you said, you know, you got Houston, yeah. you know, who knows? Indy, who knows? Baltimore? I mean, Lamar Jackson, no, being the guy that
yeah,
he
Baltimore,
is,
yeah.
It's a little,
yeah, Lamar
he
Jackson,
to me seems to be.
I don't know who's he going to be.
Because yeah. he could be psychotic and be great. And then you can sit there and find a defense that knows how to corral him and force him to do what he can't do, which is throw out of the pocket, and then there you go.
And then all of a sudden, he's throwing Jameis Winston throws.
Yeah.
It's like, what was that? Throwing across your body all the way across the field? No, but New England, I still trust the coaching. I still trust the coaching.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
They can play a complimentary game, and the offense, they won't do anything stupid with the football, because that's who I think they're starting to realize what they have to do. And still, that kick, that kicking position, not having Gostkowski, and I know he was struggling because he was hurt, but still, having the confidence and knowing you get there inside that 30, that 35, you'll make a kick. Is that there now for them? It's not.
Hey.
And when you play a complimentary game of football, you got to have that reliable, you know, kicker that's going to make that kick.
All right, Teddy, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, see you
later, bud. Hurry into your participating New England BMW Center on October 17th. That would be tomorrow, by the way, the ultimate BMW sales event. You can take advantage of exceptional offers, or you can visit at BMWCenters.com for more exciting offers. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. This hour's been brought to you by Auto Fair. We got Les Colts coming up next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
And I'm thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule a free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. This is an interesting story out of Cleveland today. Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett said that he was punched in the face by a fan. Mm. He claims that a fan hopped out of his car to take a picture with him, and then he punched him in the face.
You just can't go around punching guys in the face.
No, you can't, Bill. I have no idea. So anyway, the Browns are a little bit concerned about the incident, so they have informed the appropriate law enforcement authorities. They have notified them because they're probably worried that this knucklehead fan probably going to twist it around and say,
of course,
hey, he beat me.
File a civil suit.
But how stupid. Have you ever seen how big that guy is?
Miles He's Garrett, a large man.
You're going to go up to his car and punch?
He's Willie McGinnis-esque as far as his size, long arms, just jacked beyond belief.
Garrett said he took a little pillow tap. He said if he put his legs into it, he might have actually made me flinch. Imagine.
I mean, you've got to be drunk or high or that's the way you're getting jumped into a gang, right? Let's go find the biggest guy and punch him in the face.
Yeah.
So big day at the White House yesterday. As we know, there aren't a lot of teams now that want to go to the White House and visit with Trump. But, of course, Trump is a big, huge hockey fan. And so the Blues were there yesterday.
It's a great honor today. These are great champions behind me, great athletes. I always respect great athletes, but they're also very smart because you can't win unless you're smart. You shut out the Flyers, who were hot, and Glory became your new win song. It was a win song. That's why we played it. So now everybody gets it. Otherwise, the fake news would be criticizing me.
Oh, my God.
They'd say, what kind of a song? You're playing this song. And what is win that? Song. Look at that guy. Look at that mouth of that guy. Come here a minute.
The mouth.
You think he's taken a few hits? You think he's tough? You think I could take him in a fight? I don't know. Wow. How do mine look? No hockey. Jaden Schwartz scored the winning goal in the last 15 seconds of regulation, and everybody else just took a deep breath and said, that was close. Where's Jason? Jason? Oh, Jaden, come here. Say a few words. Jaden. Jaden, Jason. It's all the same.
Come here.
And they say he's a great golfer, but the Bruins took 33 shots on net during the game, and the Blues, rookie goaltender, that's pretty good. Jordan Binnington. Where's Jordan? Jordan. I got to find
Jordan Binnington.
The game a lot.
That's my bad, I guess. Could have had a shutout there.
Oh, for the record, let me just say something. I haven't been to two of these things.
Yeah.
Okay. His are so much more fun.
No hockey.
Yeah, they're fun.
They're all goofy.
No. But he plays along a lot more. I don't really care what your politics are.
Uh-oh. This, here you go.
He's more entertaining, and that's a fun trip.
And Glory became your new win song. Win song.
Why are you wearing a Make America Great
hat?
Why do you
MAGA.
Have that
all the way hat, Trump 2021?
I think they're all the way. Every president has difficulty pronouncing any of the names because they don't know anything about what they're talking about.
No. You're reading some Binnington.
Well, whatever. They're reading somebody else's Jaden, Jason, whatever your name is. I mean, it's just the whole thing. It's just they're all goofy.
And we're going to look at the Lincoln bedroom.
The Lincoln bedroom. Hey, if you missed any of today's show, you can listen to the entire program, radio.com app. Use the rewind feature. It's pretty good. And if you don't have the app, just text app, APP, to 37937. Who's a much special guest tonight? Let's ruin it for everybody.
Who is Jordan Binnington.
Jordan Binnington. Yeah, that's your special guest. Mutt's coming up next. We'll do it tomorrow, boys. 2 p.m.
All right, boys.
Be here. We're out.
It's over. We suck.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.